speed. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Moe, in case you hadn't known that. And if you did know it, well, I'm willing to reiterate that and to replay that when it's played back. And you'll be doing the replaying, I'll be reiterating and re-splendoring it or something or the other. So how are you? What's going on? How are you? I said again. Today is Wednesday, the 18th of December, 2024. Essentially, one more show left in this year, and that will be a repeat, because this is the last live show of 2024. 1-2 Radio will be going on a hiatus. That always sounds like something medical. I'm sorry, Mr. Abdelbaki, but you've got a hiatus. And, it's a double hiatus. That's right. We're not going to be back until January of 2025. So the week of January the 1st, which would be a show, won't be a show. Won't be here. I shan't be here. So, but feel free to tune in. It'll be a repeat. So if you missed that show, it'll be a repeat of that show that you may have missed. It may be this show, which indeed you may have missed. And then again, you may be here. So, I don't know. The past is always so confusing. The future is even more confusing. And the present, well, it's a gift, isn't it? And that's why they call it a gift. I don't know. That's all so weird. You know, those... We all think we're so clever, don't we?
Oh, you're so clever, aren't you?
Yes. So how are you? I hope you're okay. I hope you're weathering the weather and weathering the storm and weathering the political, and all of that. Because the politics are crazy, and so forget them. Let the people who elected them figure it out, and let the electees figure it out. And it's just funny how they're already kind of running things. Like, it's like, you know, they're not even in office yet, and they're kind of trying to run things and having these press conferences and inviting people to the party and, you know, buttoning a shirt, don't get excited. What's that sound? What does that sound? You know. People are getting excited. Everyone's getting excited. Everyone's getting all riled up. Have you seen that? People getting riled up about things. A lot of riling. A lot of upping. Upping and riling. Strange Days. There's a whole album called Strange Days by The Doors. By the way, it's a very good album in case you've never heard it. At least I think it's good. It's got some good stuff on it, you know. Not the least of which is the song People Are Strange by The Doors. Jim Morrison wrote that little group of words that were turned into a song. Good stuff. That's just me. So, strangeness. Did you happen to see the full moon on the 15th? I actually didn't see the moon. I saw the light of the moon by the light of the silvery moon. Is it really silver? I don't know. But you were looking at an oddity. I saw it the next day, which was the 16th. And I thought, wow, that moon is high. Have you seen it? You should look. For the next 27 days, well, it's actually not 27, it's about 24 days now, you will be noticing the moon is, my goodness, that moon is high up in the sky. Riding high is how that goes. That's what we say. We are seeing the moon at its lunation. It is the lunar still, moon still, lunar, wait a minute, oh my goodness, my mind goes blank lately. Well, not lately, it's gone blank my whole life. But it's the lunar, oh gosh, the lunar still, it's the moon still, still lunar, it's, anyway, it's kind of, you know, the word solstice, you know what that means? It means the sun still. And there's an equivalent of that, and that is the lunar standstill. There we go. And that is the lunar standstill. And that's where we are now, except it happens every 20 years, 19.6 years. And that's what we're at right now. And interestingly enough, this is shown at Stonehenge. There are two posts on either side of the heel stone at Stonehenge, and two posts on the other side, way to the other side. And they form a large rectangle. And those two other posts, there's a post on the south side, post on the north side, and those posts mark the northernmost position of the lunar standstill and the southernmost position of the lunar standstill. And those mark the furthest northerly position that the moon can rise in the north and the southernmost position that the moon can set in the south. And it's just remarkable. And that's where we are now. So for the next 27 days, you can watch the moon as it is the furthermost north it can rise and the furthermost southerly post it can set. And that is not going to happen for another 20 years. So I may still be around in 20 years. Who knows? I'm not going to say I'm not going to be. I'll be rightly surprised if I am. I'll be happily surprised if I am. But I'm not going to say I'm not going to be. Because I could be around at the age of 90. Wouldn't that be lovely? That would be lovely, unless I'm miserable, which in case it wouldn't be so lovely. But I'm hoping, who knows, maybe I could be. Yep. I'm not going to say I'm not going to be. My chart shows some evidence of longevity and then also shows evidence of crashing and burning. So you can find just about everything you want in a chart except for Alice. You know, that's actually my granddaughter. So what can I say? She's in there too. So I guess you can find her as well. So what you going to do? What's new, pussycat? Whoa. No, I don't drink. And I don't toke anymore either. Haven't done that in a long, long, long time. Don't do anything anymore. Boring. But I'm just me. Just me. And sometimes that's more than enough from what I hear. Oh my God, he's just himself. God Almighty. Why do we have to put up with this guy anymore? Why do we? So these astronomical things, so what are you going to do with a lunar standstill anyway? Well, it was important enough to the folks at Stonehenge to mark it, you know, and to mark it to market. Buy a fat pig. Well, that's what you do with things like that, isn't it? You mark it. And at Stonehenge, by the way, on this coming Saturday is the winter solstice. What happens on Saturday on the winter solstice? I know. Pick me. Does it have to be in the form of a question? No. What happens is that at sunset, in the largest trilithon, those are those big old honking things, the big old three, look like wickets, you know, like big old wickets if you're playing cricket wicket. Or if you're playing a croquet, which is different than those you eat. Those are croquettes, I think. Then what's going to happen is that the sun will set in the, well, it'll be right in the middle of one of those old sarsens, you know, the big old trilithons, the biggest of them. And that's kind of special. In the summer solstice, the sun rises on the heel stone. Now, this may be coincidence, not coincidence. These prehistoric people who lived on the Salisbury Plain, they set out these stakes that marked the sunrise and the sunset on different days. They were known as Salisbury stakes. Thank you. And they were important to them for various reasons, not the least of which didn't always have to do about just farming. It had to do about the fact that these were the very essential places where the sun rise and the sun set on important days. And when you're marking the limits of the sun and the moon, those become very important. When you're marking the eclipses, those become very important. When you as a human being, when you as a colony, you as a group of human beings can figure out when the eclipses are going to occur, oh boy, howdy, that is a really important thing to do. And it's a pretty magnificent thing to do. I mean, there's a lot to that. When you can actually say, I have figured out when the next eclipse is, and your fellow human, and let's say, you know, maybe a little bit of a rival for the affection of the lady that settled down with you, and she chose you because you were just an itty-bitty bit smarter, or you just had a little bit of a hairier back, let's say. And so you said, I figured out a way to tell when the next eclipse was. And you know, that person over there said, no, you haven't. You said, yes, you have. I figured it out. We've got 47 of these rocks, and I just put this white rock on this thing. And, you know, when it comes back to this thing, then we're going to have another eclipse. And they say, prove it. So you say, fine, let's do this. Well, you say, okay, I'm gonna show you this. And so you do this thing, and it comes around time for the next eclipse, and you're able to prove it. And well, it happens. And the person who was vying for the affection of the woman who settled down with you, or if you happen to be a woman talking about your man or another woman, or it doesn't matter. You prove it. That's a pretty big deal. You gain a lot of, a lot of influence and a lot of, whatever they traded back then. So it became very important. Plus, it meant that the world wasn't ending. Because if you could predict it, then it suddenly wasn't an omen from the gods that everything was ending right then and there. You could say, wait a minute, this has a purpose. It has a reason. I've seen this. Ah, I've seen this. Whenever something becomes predictable, it no longer becomes simply the whims of the gods, right? It becomes something that is, well, going to happen. And when something is going to happen, well, it has a lot of power to it. Yes. But it also has a certain amount of what's the right word? Can't think of it. There's a word. Stretch. I'm going to use the word stretch because suddenly you can make it mean just about anything you want it to. You can say, all right, I know this is going to happen. So you can still have that divine influence, but at the same time, you can really kind of slump it into anything you want to. So, for example, the ancient Egyptians, they were able to say, we know the flood's coming. They even knew why it flooded, because it rained and rained and rained down south, or what they called the Northern Nile. The Upper Nile, I'm sorry, Upper Egypt, right? Down into Africa, and way down south in Africa. And so there was Upper Egypt, which was Northern Egypt. I'm sorry, I get my, you know, sandwich hand and milk hand confused. But they knew why this happened, but then they were able to kind of work it into whatever they wanted to work it into. There's something really quite amazing about mythology and how you can work with mythology in just any old way you want to. I think it's a pretty good bet that Zeus, right? Pretty much, I think the Greeks understood that there was a natural phenomenon around the hurling of lightning bolts from the top of Mount Olympus. I think they kind of got that he wasn't actually hurling those bolts from up there. That was probably had something to do with storm clouds. But it made for some real nice mythology. And it was a good way to explain certain things. Do you realize that before Benjamin Franklin I wonder if I'm going to be one of those guys. You know, what is the name of that thing? You know, what's the name of that thing? That thing that catches lightning out of the sky and puts it into the ground so that we don't get fried. It's got a name. It's a bolt catcher. That's what it's called. No, that's the thing that guys on skyscrapers use when they're riveting. That's called a bolt catcher. They hold it. It's like a mitt, like a catcher's mitt. That's what it is. That's what it is. God almighty, what is that called? Benjamin Franklin invented it. It's a lightning thing, a lightning rod. Holy great honk. Okay, Benjamin Franklin invented the lightning rod. And because he invented the lightning rod, it changed the way people thought about lots of things, right? Why is that? Well, it's because before the lightning rod, and since steeples were really about the highest buildings in the town, certain churches would get hit by lightning. And because the church was hit by lightning, it was assumed that when a church got hit by lightning, that church had been singled out by God to be hit because the people who were in the church were evil. They were evil. And that God was saying this church was wrong. They were nasty. These guys were jerks. So when Franklin invented the rod, that of lightning, that he was able to kind of do away with that thought. Because any house that got hit by lightning, any church that got hit by lightning, had been chosen by the finger of God. It's like, what? How can that be? But believe it or not, that was a belief. So that one invention kind of made things equal, right? Think about that. That one invention changed the world in such a way that things were never the same again. Now, I saw an I've Got a Secret once, a show with Gary Moore, and, of course, other people in the panel and so on, that he had a show on, and he interviewed a guy, and they had the secret. And this guy had been struck by lightning 11 times and had not died. 11 times! And yet no one thought that he was chosen by God to be hit 11 times. Imagine that. Now, I have here on my desk, I'm holding it right now, a purba. A purba. I'm holding it. It is got a lot of iron in it. It's a Tibetan ritual dagger. It's three-bladed, and it has a face of a demon, and another demon, and another demon, and looks like another demon. And it has another demon, and it has it's a ritual dagger. It has a dorja on it, and it's a magnificent piece of work. And it represents the lightning bolt. And it is used in many Tibetan rituals, but one of the things it can do is repel demons. So it has demons on it, you know, and so on. But it can also represent the center of the universe. I love that. And so when you raise it in a ritual, you can put it, you can stab it into a pot of rice. And when you do it, you imagine a lightning bolt coming down and you hear it and you see it. And it's really something to do. And I have here a dorja. And the dorja, of course, is a representation of a lightning bolt itself, Tibetan. And it's tactile. And it's cold in my hand. And yet, there is something about it that is electric. And it's just a piece of brass, essentially. There are, you know, more metals than that. But and there's a bell. And the bell, the top of it, is the top of the dorja. I just love how the Tibetans incorporated these things into their work, their religion. And before that, it was the Bonpo religion. And we see how these things are incorporated into so many different modalities, you know. Something as simple as lightning, and yet there's nothing simple about lightning, is there? Because lightning, have you ever met anyone who's been struck by lightning? A friend of mine in high school was struck by lightning. And I really wanted to ask him to see the lightning patterns. They have a name for it, I'm not sure what it is. But it's a pattern that it leaves on the body. And he was a troubled kid in many ways. Now he's a bishop in a church, the Church of Thomas. And he's in the Book of Apostles, which just blew me away. I mean, he's a bona fide bishop. It's like, wow. My friend Joe. I really liked Joe. He was a good guy. Really something. Struck by lightning, riding a horse, of all things, and it blew the soles right out of his shoes. He lived. He was always kind of different, and this made him very different. He had to leave our high school because they kept beating him up because he was a hippie. Sad story. But he was always very different. And he kind of regrets his life at one point in his hippie stage because he was doing things that he thinks he shouldn't have been doing, but he was himself. I don't think people, you know, sure, we all do things we shouldn't have done, oughtn't have done, but the same is true of mankind. I mean, if we look at mankind, the way mankind has been, there are a lot of things that mankind should not have done but has done. I don't know. You look at mankind and you say, what were we thinking? Well, we weren't thinking, were we? We were just acting or reacting. Sometimes you just have to say, let's just keep moving forward and hope that we can A, forgive ourselves, and B, find some sort of lesson out of it, learn something from it, and move forward and be better. We have to find the joy within the day. We have to find the joy within our lifetimes. I mean, what if our lives were... What if there is nothing else? What if there is absolutely nothing else? I'm more or less living my life with that basic understanding. And not because that's what I really believe, because I don't really know what to believe. I think it's kind of arrogant to say, I know what's on the other side, because I don't have a clue. There are a lot of people who think they know. I've had uncles and aunts, and I've known people who are sure, I'm sure, and they've passed, so they know by now, or they don't know by now, if you catch my drift. For their sake, I hope they were right. Or for some of their sake, I hope they were wrong. For me, I want it to be here. I want my life to be fulfilled here. I want my life to be full of experience and love and happiness here. I want to find the fulfillment of my life in my life during my lifetime. That to me is very important. You can be promised a lot, that's for sure. A lot of people have promised me a lot of things. Bupkis. Most of what I've been promised has been bupkis. And for those of you who don't know what that means, zilch, zero, nada, not a thing. Because people make promises all the time. All you have to do is watch an election to find out that people have made promises that they not only don't plan to keep, but just aren't willing to live up to those elections. There are a lot of different things that can happen. And yet, very few of them actually do happen. You've noticed that, I'm sure. A lot of the things that can happen just don't do happen. So what do you think? What do you think the real answers are? Do we want to know the real answers, or do we prefer to look at the delusion? Do we want to know the truth? I don't think so. I think most people are happier with something convenient. We've got Christmas coming up, a week from today, the 25th of December. Jingle, jingle, jingle. Bell, bell, bell. Right? And the commercials have been really strange this year. There haven't been a lot of them. It's been very subdued. And I'm not sure why. I mean, people have spent supposedly more money this year on Christmas than they ever have before. And I'm just going to add, maybe on less than they've ever had before. So it's like, okay, well, why? What has been going on? Why has it all been so subdued? Why has it been less than grandiose? Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why it's been that way. What has it all been about? Well, definitely it's expensive to live nowadays. I need to say nowadays about 40 more times in the next 10 minutes.
What a dope.
Hmm.
It is expensive. It is. There's just no doubt about it. I go to the grocery store. I shop. It's like $80 for this? For literally a bag of food? $80. Well, yeah. Okay. That's okay. You kind of look at it, you go, all right. That's what it costs. But to whom? To whom is this being put? Why? See, no conspiracy stuff, because I don't think it's a conspiracy. It's just the old frog in the boiling water thing. You just raise it a degree at a time, you know? Do you see what I'm saying? It's conditioning. I'm rambling, I know. So, we've got the equinox, or the solstice rather, coming up on Saturday. During this lunar standstill period. And it happens. I mean, this is not, get ready. This is what happens. But this is a powerful sort of energy for me. The question is, how should you use it? Is there anything special to do? Is there anything better to do with it than just sit around and yuck it up, you know? And I don't know necessarily that there is or isn't. I don't know. Thinking.
Sorry, I'm yawning. I had a big lunch. We don't get out much because of Coco Bean, our pupple dupple. She is highly destructive.
So it's like, I don't know that we really want to leave her alone, but we do. We do leave her alone, but not very often. We haven't lately because she is so very, well, so very, very. I'm going to run a chart here. Let me just get the right day. Going to take a look at let's see. That will be Saturday. 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 The solstice. Yupper. And now I do Vedic astrology, so things are going to be a little different. So I'm just looking at the solstice and taking a look at how things are going to be. Mars retrograde, Mercury direct, but Jupiter retrograde still. Mm-hmm. And the moon in Leo. Now remember, I'm a Vedic astrologer. It's different. So just let me see what this snapshot is going to tell me about this solstice and what this is going to do. Yep. Mercury in Scorpio. Yep. Well, my thought is that what's going to be happening here, this is a perfect time with this lunar standstill for you personally. Aha. Look at this. to decide how you would like, what do you want to do in the next 20 years? That's pretty broad. But what would you like to do to really change yourself up? What would you like to do to transform yourself? What is it about yourself you don't like? I know that sounds pretty highfalutin, but there are a lot of things here that say, what is it about yourself that you really would like to change? So, have you decided, for example, that you'd like to move? This would be an ideal time to say, I think I'd like to move. If it's overseas, think about that. If you've always wanted to move to the ocean, this would be the time to do so. That's very specific here. If you live near the ocean and you want to move to the mountains, this would be one of those times to say, I love the mountains. I'd like to be closer to them. You know, this is the time for you to speak your mind and to decide you'd like to do it. Okay? This is that type of time. With this standstill going on, because the moon on the, and this is once again, this is in the Vedic system, so you just have to go with me on this. It'll be hanging in Leo. And so what's going to be happening there is that it's about you, it's about us. It's about saying, I want to know myself. I want to be myself. I want to find myself. I want to be true to myself. I want to invigorate myself. I want to decide who I'm supposed to be, man. Yeah, exactly. Self-love, self-truth, spiritual honesty. This is a time to take a spiritual quest of some sort. This might be a good time for some sort of shamanism, if you've ever practiced any, and if you haven't, you might consider it. Don't turn away from some sort of mission. A mission of some sort. You can find it very enlightening. There's a good word. But this is also a time for self-evaluation. And don't forget self-love. Yeah. Venus is prominent here. Think about real love. What is real love? Real love is seeking the truth of what love is. Not just the physical, not just the, you know, because sometimes people look for someone who simply reflects to them back themselves. Oh, you're so pretty. Oh, you're so handsome. Oh, you're so smart. Oh, you're so, you know. When was the last time someone called you a nitwit? For me, it was yesterday. Yeah. These things happen. During this lunar standstill, which will go on till the next full moon, when the moon has moved a bit, then it's going to go like crazy. Like crazy. Like a lunatic. Find out where the moon is in your chart. Chances are you already know. So, let's say, for example, I have a Scorpio moon. I have a full moon in Scorpio.
3 minutes before the full moon. 3 minutes. Tick, tick. Tick. Find out where your moon is. And think about that. And look and see what planet is in there. If nothing is there, find out who owns that planet or that sign. So let's say the moon was in Aries, owned by Mars. Find out where Mars is. Okay? And think, what's influencing that? So in Vedic right now, Mars is in Cancer. And so that's owned by the moon. So you've got this kind of round robin thing going right now. The moon, well, today, but we're not today on the solstice. It'll be in Cancer, which is owned by the moon. So you think there's a lot of lunar energy that's hanging on you. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? So it's Aries moon energy, which is Mars moon. So you think, okay, it's Mars moon, active mind, piercing mind, driving mind. See how that fits. Let's say it was in Libra. Well, in the old system, that's Venus, right? So Venus. Okay, where's Venus now? Well, in the West, it's in Aquarius, which is ruled by Saturn, or I think by Uranus, right? Or Uranus, excuse me. But you do this. You think about, okay, and where is Uranus? I have not a clue. Not a clue. Can't help you. But in the Vedic system, it's ruled by Saturn. Saturn is in Aquarius right now. And you think, okay, so there's a lot of Aquarian energy there. What does that mean to you? Think about that for a while. Use that energy. Use that thought. You know, this is a good time. And then bring the moon into it, because we're talking about the lunar standstill. This is a time to kind of investigate yourself with some astrology. I love Vedic astrology because it's ancient, number one. I'm ancient, number two. I've been using it for quite a while, and I think it works. Nothing against Vedic or regular astrology. They're related. Exactly related. Think about things. I like to think about things. I like to just, you know, take the iPad or take the computer or take the phone, put it down, put it away. Get out a book and write in it. Not a book, but like a journal. I write longhand. And I write my thoughts. Sometimes it's gobbledygook, and sometimes in the middle of the gobbledygook is something so important that it just stuns me. And I didn't know I was going to write it, but there it is. There it is. Right there. And you think, okay, this is a time to write. This is a time to communicate with yourself, to be truthful with yourself. Don't lie to yourself now. You might want to think, what is this arcade business of his? It's in my mind. I see it. I see all the stuff, you know. Smiling Jack the Musical Tar, you know, he's there. I see him, I can see him, I can see the Sock Monkey Oracle. I see all the stuff in here. Your mind is rich, and it's diverse, and it has so much to offer you. All you have to do is allow it to do its thing, and it will repay you back so many times. People are always willing, quite frankly, to rain on your parade. And they're willing to use much more than water to rain on it. They will pee on your parade as often as they can. That is the unfortunate aspect of human beings. They love to mess with you.
And they love to tear you down, and they love to ruin your world. It's a terrible part of humanity that people just love to mess with your life. And why do we let them? Well, we don't always let them. Sometimes they just like to do it. They like to do things to kind of screw with our happiness. Why? Because it makes them happy. It makes them feel better, especially if you're nice, especially if you are successful, especially if you are doing something that they wish they could do, doing something that is good. It's a remarkable thing. I've experienced it a lot in my life. People have a tendency to just lie about things. I've been hornswoggled so many times. You'd think I'd learn, but I don't learn. I don't learn. Because I always expect the next person to be honest. I'll tell you a story about a guy that I met in 1966 or 1967. His name was Dr. Baxter Black. Dr. Black was a student of my dad's, PhD student, DVM, doctor of veterinary medicine. And my dad said, I walked into the break room at Colorado State University anatomy department, and my dad said, I want you to meet Dr. Black. This is Dr. Baxter Black. And he was skinny guy, with a cowboy hat on, a real cowboy hat, and big mustache. And he said, pleased to meet you. He shook my hand, and I said, hello, Dr. Black. And I was just a kid, you know. And he said, so you're Dr. Ab's kid? And I said, yes, I am. He said, well, you look just like him. And I thought, oh, that's a compliment, you know. And he was like that, just positive, sunny side. And he'd just gotten his doctor of veterinary medicine, and he was going to be a large animal, work on ranches and that sort of thing, horses and cattle. And my dad said, he's going to be a veterinarian. He said, but he's going to be much more famous for something else. And I said, what? He said, for poetry. Baxter here is, he's a cowboy poet. And he kind of blushed, and he said, oh, you know, Dr. Abbey, he said, I just do that as a hobby. He said, no, sir, you're going to be famous. You're going to do it. And he had written a book, and he had dedicated it to my dad, because my dad had, you know, urged him to do it and to get it published. And he ended up becoming world famous. Baxter Black became world famous. And he dedicated several books to my dad, which was so cool. And my dad was always so proud of him for that. And he went on to represent Safeway in commercials. I think TV, but definitely on the radio. I would hear him, you know. I had a job delivering computer information, data, you know, tapes and stuff like that, working for my ex-wife's family business. I was a delivery boy back in the late 70s, early 80s. And I'd listen to AM radio, because that's all there was in the car. That's all there were. I don't know what it was. Anyway, so, and he'd do Safeway commercials, and I'd listen to Baxter Black. And he was still a vet, but he would do these cowboy, you know, pithy commercials. And I thought, it just made me so happy. And I'd talk to my dad, and he'd say, well, yeah, I've heard these things. And it just made him so happy, too. And they wanted to bring him in and have him do these huge ad campaigns. And Baxter said, fine, I'm happy to do them. And they said, well, we want you to sign a contract. And Baxter said, no, sir, I'm not signing any contract. My word is my handshake. And if you can't accept my handshake, well, then you don't, you know, you're not going to trust me. Well,
then that's not me. He said, if you're not going to trust me with a handshake, then I'm not going to trust you. And they said, come on, we have to sign this contract. And he said, no, sir. He said, if you're not going to, well, they wanted to pay him, I think, over $2 million is what I heard, because it became news. And he said, nope, I won't do it. If a handshake isn't good enough, then it's not good enough for me. And he turned down this huge lucrative deal, and he had kids and everything, and he was still very, you know, had his very lucrative career, and he was still a vet on ranches and that type of thing. But he turned it all down. And I talked to my dad at the time about it, I think my dad was still alive. I hope so. And he just said, what would you have done? And, well, if you have that strong an ethic and it's that powerful, he was a cowboy. He was an honest-to-God cowboy who had worked on ranches and then done all that. And his ethic was, his ethos was about a handshake is good enough for me. And I got it. And when you believe strongly enough in something like that, and when you're talking to people and they don't trust you, it came down to he felt they didn't trust him enough. And so that was that. And he gave up all that money because of a handshake. And I think that that's magnificent. That's incredible. I've been screwed so many times in life, and I've met such really questionable people who were not very nice, and I've held on to my morality and my ethics and my beliefs when other people have, I'm not going to get into the nitty and gritty of it, but I've been surrounded by hurricanes, you know? We can be who we are in the midst of this very strange world of ours. And I think it's important that we do. That's a good thing about the lunar standstill. It gives us an opportunity to stand in the middle of this ridiculously confusing and sometimes really strange world of ours, always strange world of ours, and be ourselves. And really say we are who we are. We are who we are, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. We don't have to make other people happy. If we're trying to be someone because we expect them to then love us or like us, then we are screwed up. And we need to be who we are. And if they don't like us and love us for ourselves as we are, who we are, then we don't need them in our lives. If we're trying to make someone proud of us, too bad. Do you get me? We need to be who we are for us. If we make ourselves happy and someone else doesn't like us as we are, then, as we say politely, up theirs. You know? As the late, great Hunter S. Thompson used to say, F them if they can't take a joke. A lot of people didn't like him. I liked him fine. He had a take on the world that was an appreciation for the bizarre. And the world is bizarre. And if you can't sit back and have a good, hearty laugh at it, then you're missing out. Winter solstice, this Saturday, enjoy it. Enjoy it. The sun will stand still for 3 days in the sky. And that's what it does. It doesn't move, stays in the same place for 3 days. Scared the bejesus out of our ancestors. And then it started going up on the up in the sky again. Okay? Getting stronger. And that is celebration. I celebrate every day because I'm still here. And I celebrate you listening to me. And I thank you, and I love you. And I will be back, if all goes well, in 3 weeks. Have a happy, 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 happy holiday. Until then, I wish you all peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.